This is the California Report. Good morning to you. I'm John Sepulveda. Let's begin with climate change this morning. Incoming President Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of State, ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson, worked as a top executive for the company while it put studies out denying climate change. For this reason and so many others, some California political leaders would like the state to sign its own climate treaties. Here's KQED science reporter Lauren Sommer.
Mesdames et messieurs, j'ai l'honneur.
It was just after Election Day when international leaders got together for a major climate change meeting in Marrakesh. They were trying to put some teeth in the international treaty to cut carbon emissions. With Trump's win, suddenly the U.S. delegation didn't have much to say. But California's did.
That California will not retreat. California will not go backwards. California will move forward.
That's Kevin De Leon, who leads the California State Senate, speaking at the Marrakesh meeting. As he met with other countries, an interesting idea came up. If the U.S. pulls out of the International Climate Treaty, as Trump has said he wants to do, maybe California could sign on to it.
It has to actually legally pass muster. We're not there yet, but it's always an option that I want to keep open.
So would it work?
The short answer is no.
Michael Wara of Stanford Law School says the authors of the Constitution didn't leave a lot of wiggle room.
They were very careful to ensure that the federal government and the president in particular would have sole authority to conduct foreign affairs.
If California did sign the climate treaty, the state would probably be taken to court. But there's still plenty it can do, Wara says. Governor Brown has launched his own climate movement by signing agreements with more than 100 cities and regional governments around the world. For the California Report, I'm Lauren Sommer.
Let's go now to Orange County. It's the home of the largest wastewater treatment plant in the nation, and it's expanding, all to turn water flushed down the pipes into drinking water. David Gorn explains.
It's pretty dark down here and kind of weird. Two dozen students, notebooks in hand, are underground, making their way among 8-foot-wide pipes and strange hisses from pressure valves everywhere. They've trekked down here for an odd reason, to look at wastewater. You know, the stuff you flush down your toilet. The tour leader is named Becky Mudd, and she's pointing out the reverse osmosis and filtering technology that turns used water into fresh water. Welcome to the largest wastewater treatment and groundwater replenishment plant in the nation.
Water agencies around California have been watching Orange County for years now.
That's David Sedlak, co-director of UC Berkeley's Water Center. He says almost every water district in the state is planning some sort of water recycling effort now, helped by the state's $1 billion set-aside. The Santa Clara Water Authority and San Jose consulted with Orange County officials, and they're now leading the way in Northern California. And a huge toilet-to-tap effort being planned by the city of Los Angeles could eventually top Orange County's output. That kind of rapid progress, Sedlak says, is unprecedented.
When you think about the normal glacial pace with which water infrastructure projects usually get built, things are moving at a lightning pace in California.
In fact, says UCLA water policy researcher Madeline Glickfeld.
I don't know. It's moving so quickly. I think pretty soon all the water that we have in sewer treatment plants is going to be recycled.
Obviously, water officials have been prodded by the drought, now entering year number 6 in California. Recent rains have eased some of the problems for northernmost areas, but federal officials estimate 87% of the state is still in drought, with over half in severe drought. The state cut water allocations again this year, and Glickfeld says districts don't want to rely on that water.
The Southern California Water Replenishment District, their goal is to stop importing water, and they think they can.
The first step toward water independence, she says, is treating wastewater. In the next few years, Orange County expects to have enough recycled water to meet the needs of almost half its population. That's 2.4 million people. And it doesn't just treat the water, but also pumps it underground to refill its groundwater aquifer. That additional step may filter the water even more and help keep the famous ick factor out of the conversation. For the California Report, I'm David Gorn in Orange County.
We began the show today asking whether California can assert a bit of sovereignty and sign climate change treaties on its own. Louis Marinelli would love that. He wants California to become its own country.
Let's imagine if California was a country today, would there be a reason for it to give up its independence to become an American state?
Marinelli is the president of Yes California, also known as CalExit. The secessionist group is working to put a Brexit-style question before California voters in the next 2 years. CalExit has been all over social media and even discussed in major news outlets, including NPR. But what you might not have heard is that Marinelli doesn't even live in California right now.
That's right.
Where are you at?
I am in my apartment in Yekaterinburg, Russia, in the Ural Mountains.
In other words, the man leading California's secessionist movement is doing so from an apartment in Russia. His ties to that country are deep. In fact, Russian propaganda outlets cranked out CalExit stories until mainstream news outlets picked it up. For Kelly McBride, she's the vice president of the journalism center, the Poynter Institute, this is a different, more nefarious form of the fake news problem.
Some of the fake news is really bad actors trying to negatively influence the American democratic process in order to change the balance of world events.
One of the things, though, that I've noticed is that it's not that the Kremlin is trying to install a Manchurian candidate to run for California governor, but rather it seems that they're looking for really fringe divisions that already exist in society and are saying, you know what, we're going to amplify these.
But why? What is their motivation for doing that? To weaken American democracy? That's what's scary about it.
That's the Poynter Institute's Kelly McBride. You can read a detailed, in-depth look at this story by going to our website, thecaliforniareport.org.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, archiving, and backup solutions for physical networks and public cloud services, such as Microsoft Azure and Office 365. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, December 13th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.